So, gentlemen, we are here in chapter 6 of Shaar Avos Hashem, Perek Vav. We left off last week that the Chovos Levavos, that we're nearing the end of the whole Sefer, tells us that it's worthy of repeating that even the person's Magila Dargel Yaina B'yais V'tikon Ishmasai, even person personally reaches the highest level of personal improvement, even if he's already kamat daimel neviim, he's almost like a navi. You know what that means? To be almost like a navi. To be almost like a navi. And you're holding by the midas and the spirituality and the kedusha and the tahara of a navi. Ulahan negaseim and b'shubacha. You're coming to their praiseworthy conduct and behavior and their hismasters, his total dedication to what is Hashem, a person can have arrived at such an exalted level. Nevertheless, he is still relatively a failure compared to somebody else. If we'll look at life as a competition, this great man, this tzaddik nizgav, this Ovid Hashem, this semi-navi, doesn't come close to the person who is not so hoich galant, he has not learned that much, he hasn't come to such a level of purification, and he spends his time teaching other yidden, other bnei adam, to go in the right path, the path of Hashem. The path, the person who goes public and spends his time caring for the souls of others, that person's soul is enriched immeasurably more than the person who spends his life for the enrichment of his own soul. So no matter how much you spend time enriching your soul, and how much time you spend in the mikveh, and how much time you spend on saying Tillim and Yehudim, whatever you want. And it's great stuff. It's very important. But you'll never, never, you'll come like a Navi almost. You'll never get close to the person who is on a lower level in his intensity of self-perfection, but has invested his kayak in perfecting others. The perfection of others will reflect back on that person, and ultimately, the perfecter of others will become greater himself. Because what does greatness mean? We have to have a definition of greatness then. Greatness must mean closeness to Hashem. Greatness ultimately means that our soul, we are, well, let's put it this way. Greatness means, there's various definitions. It's try to fine tune it. Greatness means living in accordance with Hashem's will. The person who brings others to Hashem's will is giving Hashem more pleasure than the person who's only concerned with his own self-enrichment. Self-enrichment is a great thing, mind you. And there'll always be people who are involved in self-enrichment. We have to have such people. They should not be put down. This is not to denigrate them. Not chas v'shalom. But the fact is that if you have a choice in life and you can follow two paths, one of being a hermit in ivory tower, or relatively hermetic, or dedicate your life to be out there and be makar of other people, teaching Torah, being a Rebbe, a Malamed, a Rav, a Posek, a Rosh Yeshiva, as opposed to sitting by yourself, and especially if your dream is to sit by yourself and retire. That's, I have that dream all the time. It's a frequently recurring dream to me. But retirement, very tempting. It's really I don't retire because it's Chovos Levavos. Honestly, there's nothing else holding me back from retirement than the Chovos Levavos. I know it would be self-defeating because I know that I am the Ratzon Hashem, and for my own self perfection and refinement and enrichment, I do much better spending time with people and investing in people and be makar, or helping other people on different levels, all kinds of people. I'm doing much better for myself than if I would be in my own little corner. It seems safer over there. It seems safer with the safer, just me and the safer, not me with the people. It seems safer with the safer, but the truth is, even that's not true. Because the aggravation you're going to get this year is bashert anyway. You're not going to save yourself aggravation by separating from people. It's not going to happen. Because some little kid's going to come and make smedge and annoy you and make you trouble. Some guy's going to come with a cigarette and start smoking. You can get annoyed anyway. The amount of aggravation is bashert anyway. You can't avoid your aggravation. So you think you're going to become a hermit, or you're going to sit in the corner, and you won't have to go to meetings anymore and deal with people and worry about their petty pride and not scratching their sensitive little skins, but the amount of aggravation is the same. Zal's Bashar. So if you have a choice, I spend your time, says the Chazal Vavis, you are measurably better by spending it to mechaven, to direct people to go on the good path, and mekar v'shoyim. Here v'shoyim. So Kirov is an old subject. It was invented in Cordoba, Spain, by the Chavis Lavavis. Kirov is not invented by Eshat Torah or by Arachin and Gateways. Kirov is old hat. He says, Mekar v'shoyim the Vodas HaBoyre, because then you have invested, you're mass producing. He says, like two people come into a town, and one person has a very expensive item, which he sells 10 times more than its value. One man had a $10 item, he sold it for $100. Wow, he said, I'm so rich, I'm so smart. Another friend came in, and the fellow, instead of charging 10 times more for his wares, he charges only 1 times more for his wares. But the fact is, the second person, is bringing in 5,000 items. So even if the 5,000 items are only worth $1, and he doubled it to $2, the mice made $5,000 profit. So it's always better to go wholesale, and to go bulk, and to go mass producing, and dealing with a lot. This man spent his time, he built the most gorgeous antique, Imamish, the gorgeous antique thing, and he sells for 10 times its value. It's a rare, rare antique. So the antique was worth $100, $1,000. He doubled it, but it's not the same. If you're selling loads of mass producing, in the end you're going to be much, much richer. Much, much richer. That's his mashal. So he says, the person, not only that, there's a special... So if you're a makar of other people, any good deed they ever do in their lives, you get credit for. It's a pyramid. It's the Amway pyramid. You keep on getting points, you become a diamond distributor, a ruby distributor, whatever, it goes on and on and on. It is a pyramid. So it is a mitzvah pyramid. Anytime you're a makar of somebody, you get credit for every tefillah, every word of Torah they say their entire life, and their children, and children's children, and great-grandchildren, until the end of days. You get full schar. You mekar somebody, you get all the schar. So Meir Shapiro, I guess every person ever learns daf yomi, he gets schar for it. It's unbelievable. Wow, that man's got, wow, he's got a big geshef going up there in heaven. I don't know, he keeps track of all the zachis. And the Chavetz Chaim, everybody opens up his Mishnah Berurah. I mean, he could have stayed in this corner of the Chavetz Chaim, you know, and sat in the base medrash, drank a glass of tea behind the furnace in Radin, and learned from himself, and kept his mouth shut. Efshmir Salashim. But he decided to go public. He decided to spend 25 years on the Mishnah Berurah. 25 years. And he decided to spend, I don't know how many years, in writing the Shmir Salashim, another swarm. And that way, Mazaka Klai. So, for the rest of time, anybody opens up the Mishnah Berurah, every time they open up his safer, the man is getting points in Shemayim. He's a multi-jillionaire. Multi-jillionaire. So, not only that, he says, it says in Pirkei Avos that once you go public, once you become a public figure, you have other zachias. Kol mazakas harabim ein chet bo yado. A person of zake rabim, so he doesn't sin so easily. Moshe Rabbeinu zocha v'zikas harabim zchus harabim taliboy. Once the rabim needs you, that's a big siyata d'shmaya. There's a big siyata d'shmaya if you live your life to purify others. So it's pastnish that you, a public figure, should do certain aveiros. And not only that, you have siyat l'shmaya, Hashem needs you. So Hashem has to protect you. Hashem has to protect you. Hashem sends bodyguards, called malachim, to protect you, you know? So you know, in the football parlance, they pay a player like $50 million a season. You know, they send them like kind of public. He doesn't walk around and say, it's bodyguards. They get him a better car. It's worth it. Guy can't break it in football, right? So, lahavdil. So I don't think I've ever seen really a football game, honestly. I've seen maybe a guy throw a ball. I don't think I ever saw a whole football game in my life. But the main star is this quarterback, right? And they have all these defense guys defending him, right? There's two guys. There's an offensive team and a defensive team, yeah? So the quarterback is Dr. Iker. And they have all kinds of defense guys. Because the quarterback, he's a very precious guy. The quarterback breaks his thumb, you're out of business for the rest of the season. You got to have him. So the Rebbein Shalom also, if there's a person who is a quarterback for him, and the person is throwing the shots for the Rebbein Shalom, and he's leading the team, he's the captain of the team, so the Rebbein Shalom protects him. He has all kinds of defenses around him, all kinds of backers and forwards and this and that. Ein chet bal yadu, Hashem can't let the Yetzirah get close to this person. He has more siyata d'shmai, destroy the Yetzirah. You need siyata d'shmai, the Gemara said we can't fight the Yetzirah alone. You have to have siyata d'shmai. So the person Hashem needs, because this man is a public figure, has siyata d'shmai, that he's protected from averus, such as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe zoch of Ezekiel Sarabim, schus Sarab Taliboy. That's great. So therefore, that itself is kedai. So here this fellow, the hermit, I can't go out there. I can't go out in the street. I don't walk in the streets by day. B'chlal, says the hermit, because I might see the wrong thing. Tonish kicking. Ich kenne Scharangen dorten. He's right. You can't walk in the streets. Terrible place, the streets. He's right. So the hermit says, I'm going to spend my time in the mikveh. I'm going to spend my time in the base manager. I'm not going out. I can't give a shiur by day. I can't drive. I can't go out there. It's terrible. I got to protect myself. Another fellow, he's going out and giving shiur, and he's going in places where, you know, he's going public. He's out there. He's been mizaka people. So therefore he should be punished. So Hashem protects him. Hashem gives him siyata d'shmaya. And if he really wants to be clean and pure, Hashem will protect him. He shouldn't see what he had, the tumah shouldn't rub off on him. He shouldn't have bad influences. And Hashem protects him. Hashem protects him. So that's what he's saying. If you have schus harabim, you accomplish even more. You have more siyata d'shmaya. What's the purpose of all the avoid of the hermit? To have siyata d'shmaya, to have purification. Well, the person who is working for the Rebbein Shalom, Hashem will protect him. What more do you want? That's the best insurance policy. No? So, a man like you, so you think you're a private citizen over here, our good friend over here, Mr. Simonowitz. You think you're a private citizen, what can you do? You're going to come to Rabbi before you shiur, and the Yaitzin. No, you're making a big deal. You should be in New City this afternoon, giving a shiur to some unaffiliated Jews. I'll give you a number of my friend Greg Litt, and you know more than them, a lot more than them. Yeah, everyone looks at them, it's not me, that's good for rabbis. Everybody, every one of us should go public. Why aren't you going public, Mr. Josh? You should be, Mr. Davis, you have a lot to offer. Maybe not to the big Chachmei Lindcrest. I mean, everyone on Lindcrest is already major tzaddik, and what could you offer the people on Lindcrest, your neighbors? But I'm sure you could offer them a lot. You could start a new shiur on your block. You give a shiur, maybe you have. And the truth of the matter, but you can certainly just go. I got a couple of fried people on my block. You can makara for me. I'm not being makara of them, so I'll do this just for you. I don't want to take it away from you. Lots of, go too far, even in Haley Gamonsi. Lots of people in Makarev. Loads of people. But why aren't we doing it? We're foolish. We're losing big opportunities. You'll be sorry. You'll be sorry not in New City this afternoon. You should be outside the New City Jewish Center. There's grabby people. I want to give you a shiur. Well, that's not the way. That's not a great way. There's better ways. But there's ways. There's ways. You can start with partners in Torah. You can start, get your telephone number. You can become a partner in Torah and learn some Jew. We get a free telephone time. If you're really serious about this, Mr. Hamburger, why don't you have a partner Torah? You have a car with somebody. Got a telephone number? You gotta go public. You know more than 98% of the Jews in America. For sure. Guaranteed. And if it's only 95% of stuff, 95% that you have millions of Jews to choose from. No question about it. Millions of Jews to choose from. It's a geschäft. So what are you doing here this morning? You hear it because you want to improve yourselves, right? You'd be better off. Well, I'm not telling you not to come to Shia. Come to Shia, but you have a whole Sunday now. I'll let you out of here in 12 minutes. And then you can run and go over the whole Rockland County. So, Rockland's an amazing place. I think it's 90,000 Jews or something, and one-third of Frum, something like that. So it's only one-third. I think the ratio in Rockland County is probably the best ratio in the whole country. I think one-third of the Jews are from or something. It's an incredible ratio. But it's only one-third. It's an incredible number. But it's only one-third. Jonathan, why don't you answer, Jonathan? You know mass marketing. You're a mass marketer. You're into those millions of marketing things. That's where the money is, right? CVS, big mass market. No, you have to market Yiddishkeit. If you're a professional Jew, you're just an amateur making money. You should be out there making, doing Yiddishkeit.
It's written in code in my magazine.
And you written in code in your magazine. Subliminal. They're giving subliminal messages. Sorry. Look, it's your business. You'll be sorry. I told you so. Don't say I didn't tell you. As to the pasuk of Mishlei, v'lamoychichem yinam. See, the worst thing in the world you want to do is someone musr. Musr is a terrible thing. Oh, who wants to give musr? Something I like giving is like, you think I enjoy giving musr? Looks like it. What's better than getting it, huh? There's one big rule, Mr. Brownfeld. No, it's not true. It's not true. I happen to love musr. Someone giving musr, I really appreciate it. I wish they gave me musr. Nicely. I don't want to be abused. Giving musr, I'd love to hear it. I really would, honestly. It hurts a little bit, but great. But giving musr is not pleasant at all. And especially if you don't, there's certain people, some people don't mind giving musr to. So give musr to Mr. Brownfield, not a problem, because he's a pushover. Nice guy, pussycat. What's the big deal giving him musr? What's he going to do? Bite my head off. What are you going to do to me? But there's some bullies out there, some nasty people. You always, they look nasty at least. They have a big bark, and they look like they have a big bite. And you're not giving them musr. So therefore, King Solomon, Shlomo Melech, promises us a great promise. And he says, those who give musr and give tochacha and admonish others, which seems to be such an unpleasant task, it'll be geschmack. I need this chizuk myself. Because, you know, you're thinking, what am I messing with? Oh, don't ask. I've had a lot of reactions to musr, don't worry. Not only does the guy himself react, I get calls from their wives. Why'd you give my husband musr for? You know, you ruined his whole Shabbos. He was a grump the whole Shabbos because the Rav gave musr. And he couldn't do anything about it anyway on Shabbos, what you told him to do. What do you want from the poor guy? What do you want from the poor fellow? You told him to go take a haircut because his hair is too long and then his children are flying all over the place because they give me a whole earful that I ruined their Shabbos. So you think it's so pleasant to get such calls? But you know what happened? So this week, someone came over and he says he told his son to take a haircut. And the son said, even my 4 years here is a little bit long. It's not so short. I said, you know, it's very interesting. I see I'm really in the goldfish bowl over here. Because I took my first haircut after 2 months of Avelis last week. And I went to the bar. It was a long line, but I wanted to take the haircut ready because I was there and needed the haircut over 2 months. So I took some guy didn't take my regular barber. My Shimon. So someone gave me a haircut and I didn't pay attention. And Taka came home. Taka didn't cut it as short as he usually cuts it. I was Taka longer on top than usual. And sure enough, right away, people noticed these things. So I said, I got musr. I said, you're right. And I went back and I got a recall. I got a free repair job. I cut it lower. Absolutely. But still fly around because that's the nature of my head. But, the fact is that, so it's good. I'm glad he gave me some musr. I wouldn't have come back. I thought it was longer than usual. But when I gave this fellow musr, his trip was too long, and it really was, it still is. He hasn't changed, because he was so devastated by the musr. And what do you want from me? A lot of people in shul have chups. I said, but I'm giving you, it's a covet. I'm telling you, because I think you're on the madrega to hear it. Some people I can't tell it to. They don't understand what a chup is. They understand that if you have your hair this high, you're not putting tzilin on, says the Mishnah Berurah. Remember the Mishnah Berurah? You like the Mishnah Berurah when it says what you want to hear. And he says also, shachas, this guy would have a big pompadour. And you qualify for pompadour status. It is not just a little hair, it's a pompadour. So, you know, you can laugh at all this, right? You have no problems. You're laughing all the way to the barber. So the kids are, oh, did I get it? There's this wife, the shayach. Whoa! It's one thing to deal with the men, the women. Yeah. I said, listen, I really honored you. I gave you cover. If I give you musr, that means you're a bal madrega, that you're worthy. I figured you'll accept the musr, at least some hope. But no, some people, they lash out. Different ways. Tell musr about their children. Ah, your children are so good. You tell musr about anything you want. They'll slam it right back at you. Fight back. Can't accept. So the kids say, Shlomo HaMelech, don't feel so bad about yourself. Don't have such a self-pity. Keep it up. Keep on giving Musar. In the end, you have to have patience. Those who give the Musar, it'll be pleasant for them in the end. If not in this world, in the next world. Because like the Chofetz Chaim used to always cry and say, what's going to be? I'll come to Shemayim. Let's say Yisrael Meir, you knew that the mikveh over there wasn't kosher, you didn't do anything about it, you heard about the town that was 20 miles away from you, they didn't have a mikveh, why don't you do about it? How can you go make a mikveh campaign over there? How come the Shemayim will throw me down to Gehenna? Now they gave Musar, and they went to the town and gave him, tried to appeal to them to make money for the mikveh, at least I know, I'd say, I'll come to Shemayim, they're not going to throw me Gehenna, so in Shemayim it'll be Yinam, in Shemayim it'll be good. In this world, those who don't give Musar say, it's none of my business. Or I love that people say, I'm tolerant. I used to have a Rosh Hashiva, I used to tell him, my age Rosh Hashiva, you know, you have these people over here, you know, and you tolerate all this stuff, and you go to all their simchas, and it's not, you know, it's not the same as the kashrus, and there's no mechitza, and there's no good. We gotta be tolerant. I said, tolerance is another word for cowardice and laziness. You guys, because you're an important, influential person, don't tell me it's tolerance. We gotta be tolerant. That's not tolerance. It's, in this world, tolerance is nimus. This rabbi, I like that rabbi. He's tolerant. This one, he's a kanoi. That other one, that redhead rabbi, that ginger, he's a meshugler. He's a kanoi. He's got a short fuse. He's no good. And the tolerant guy will get awards. He'll win the Peace Prize, win the Nobel Peace Prize. Because he's a tolerant rabbi. He never says anything. He's so sweet, so lovely, so caring, so affable, so available, so affectionate. But in the next world, the tables will be turned. And even in this world, in the end, tolerance will turn against the person. And he's so tolerant that in the end it will turn. Tolerance turns against people too. So Zokhem Melech Lamoichichem Yinov Aleim Tovei Birkas Toiv. In the end, let a good blessing. He has many other psukim showing them, like the pasuk of Daniel Matzdiki Arabim, those who are matzik the rabim, those who bring the many to righteousness. Kakechovim Loilam Voya. They're like stars forever and ever. And therefore, there's a chiyuv minatayra of hecheach to hecheach zamisecha. There's a mitzvah to give musar to your friend. This is a terrible fallacy. People think musar is for rabbis. Only rabbis. It doesn't say hecheach to hecheach as balabatcha. Hecheach to hecheach as talmidcha. There's hecheach to hecheach as amisecha. It's for your friend. If you don't, and the Gemara says, kol ava sheim v'tachach en ava. Any friendship without admonishment is not friendship. You don't care enough about your friend to teach them what's right and wrong, you don't love them. So it's like, if you don't teach your children right and wrong, you certainly don't love your children. That's false love. If you only give them toys and goodies and you bribe them, that's not love. That's not love at all. That's absolute not love. So to your friends, not friendship. It says, Hecheach to Hecheach es amisecha. So Hecheach is for your friend. Friends to friend. Nothing to do with being a rabbi. And Chazal say, and how long, and Adhechem to Hecheach. What is the shear? How much do you have to give to Chacha? It says you have to give again and again. Anything, but you know, you haven't stopped talking for 7 years. I'm sitting next to you. Maybe you should stop talking. But not enough one time. You got to do it again and again. Again and again and again forever. I'm speaking to myself. And it goes to where? Rav Amar at Kalal, until he curses you. He has to curse you. If he curses you, then he can stop. Shmuel says, no, even cursing is not enough. Ad HaKoi has to hit you. Till he hits you, dirty looks not enough. Nasty things not enough, he has to curse you. He has to tell you, drop dead. That's what he has to tell you. If he doesn't tell you, drop dead, you keep on talking, so stop talking. And Shmuel says he has to beat you up. Cursing is not enough, the reason to stop. He has to beat you up. Hear the Mr. Jarrah show? So those guys in Shul are talking, what are you going to do next time? Give him Musar. How many times? Endless. Until he beats you up. Okay. So the kids are, our wives all live there, they give us musar till they beat us up. They have no problem with this. They know this halacha very well. But it says in Mishlei, the person who gives tachach to others, in the end he will find grace in everyone's eyes. So again, there's nothing as graceless as giving other people musar, and we imagine it makes us very unpopular. People avoid us. They avoid us like the plague. And you think that the opposite of grace and charm is giving musar. says Shlomo Melech, smartest man who ever lived, Chacham Galad, the Mishnah Perek Chafes, Pazach of Gimel, Machiach Adam Acharei Chen Yinsa. So number one, there's no downside. And number two, why is the Chacham always telling this? He said, upside is if you give people Musar, in the end, you'll get reward for every good thing they do. If you change their lives, and you change the way they live, and every time they don't talk, it's because of you, and every time they do learn, it's because of you, and every time they stop wearing shatnas, it's because of you, and every time they stop eating chaz, it's because of you, and every time they send their wives to the mikveh, it's because of you, and their grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you'll get the reward for it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And he concludes with one last thing, he says, and you know, so the sign of, we're learning Shaar Avos Hashem, so the sign that we love Hashem is that we love the glory of God more than our own glory. He says, I didn't tell you this as the Chavos Levavos, because I want you to get so wealthy spiritually. And the main reason to give other people Musar and guidance and encouragement and inspiration, you're not asking to give them Musar and put them down, we're asking to inspire them to do good, it depends how you do it. Inspire them to do good. So, the main reason I'm telling you to do it is because that's the sign you love Hashem. If you don't do this, you know you love Hashem. And Hashem gave loads of opportunities. Now it's amazing. When you say something, like yesterday I was at a Sheva Brothers on Friday night, and the Orlovsky house. I can't go to Sheva. I just came for a moment to model up and to say a short bracha. And I'm approached by a gentleman who I don't recognize, never saw him. And he says, you know me? I said, yeah, really? He says, yeah. You met me about 19 years ago in Miami Beach. Really? I don't remember. And he says, I remember your speech from 19 years ago. I said, really? Oh, no, and then he says, I met you in Miami Beach, and then you came to Chicago to speak. You spoke in Chicago for us right after that. And I was at the dinner, you spoke to a Kiev organization called Migdal Torah, and I remember your speech. I said, I don't remember what I said. He said, I'll tell you what you said. I said, good, let me hear. So he said, you know, you said that there was once a shoe salesman who was looking for business and looked around the United States of America and all the markets were saturated. So he told his boss, he's going to darkest Africa. Of course, are you crazy? In Africa, nobody wears shoes. They go around barefoot all the time. He says, oh, that's exactly the point. We have 100 million customers over there. So you can look at the same situation. And two days, wait. The boss said, no, wear shoes over there. And the salesman says, I have to inspire them and teach them the value of shoes. I have 100 million potential customers over there. It's an unlimited market. So to with Kiruv, you can say, I can't give most of these people. I'm not going to listen. They're shoeless. They're godless people. These people aren't in Yiddishkeit. I can go to a new city. I'm going to talk to them. They're interested in God. They're assimilated Jews. Just the opposite. Look at the opportunities out there. All these Jews are godless. You can teach them about God. Fantastic opportunities. You can make them over. You can't make over these people on Lindcrest. They know everything already. You're not going to make them over. But you're going to make over the people in New City. Then you can make over. Because they don't know for nothing. They're barefoot. It's a great one. You told thank you for reminding me. I could use that. So here I'm using it, you see. Putting it, my own words ricocheting back to me. I get double schar. I taught it to him. I get schar for him knowing it. I get schar for myself relearning it. So the kids are saying the proof that you love the Rabbi Shalom is that you want to share your love with others. If you don't want to share with others, you really don't love Hashem all that much. It's Nishdah Hazai. We'll continue this next week, Rabbi Isai. It's Hashem. I hope you'll be out there doing some Kiruv this week, spreading the word. There's loads of opportunities. Just in the workplace, no big problem. Wherever you turn, there's a Jew you can do something with.